Monday afternoon means it's time to catch up with the team from Carte Blanche and dig a little deeper into one of the stories that aired on last night's show. And this one in particular introduced us to a place of extraordinary beauty and huge geological significance, the very northern tip of the Wild Coast on the border of the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. Just south of the town of Port Edwards, the Mzamba River flows into the sea. And as the Carte Blanche team discovered, this part of the coastline hides more than just beautiful rivers and unspoiled beaches and lush countryside. Producer Stanette Groskopf took us on a journey last night to meet a man who feels very personally bound to this landscape and very ardent about protecting it for future generations. And I'm so looking forward to hearing the backstory behind this story. Stanette, it's lovely to have you with us again. Welcome.
Hi, Papa. Thank you very much.
Sure. I spent my early childhood adventuring along the southern parts of the Wild Coast because my grandfather used to go fishing in these beautiful, remote, unspoiled spots. And, Stanette, I felt very sort of nostalgic watching the segment last night and seeing the landscape, which reminded me of those times, how almost sort of untouched it feels still to this day, how remote it is, how difficult it is to get there. You know, I thought of trips in the car along bumpy roads where a spare tire was always essential. You were much further north than I was used to exploring, but did that sense of remoteness and sort of untamed wilderness prevail where you were as well?
Yes, I think so to a certain extent. But of course, you have the Wild Coast sun, which wasn't always there, but which is now there. So the site is about 2 kilometers walk along the beach from there. But certainly the beach, you know, it was only our footprints on the beach. Mm. You know, there's no one else, the waves. It does feel like that. And even in the gorge, the Mzamba, Benny took us to the gorge a little bit further up on the river. And yeah, I mean, it's except for the local people who live there, it's not overly touristy, if I can put it that way. So it certainly does still has that feeling.
I was completely unaware of the existence of the really important fossils in that part of the world. Stanette, the fossil deposits at Mzamba include the so-called petrified forest, where there are these amazing ancient trees that have solidified into fossils. Can you tell us a little bit more about them, how old they are, what period of history they date back to, and what we know about them?
Yeah, so the trees themselves apparently did not grow in the area. So a lot of them, the continent was smaller back, we're talking around about 80 million years ago, between 100 and 80 million years ago, because sea levels were so much higher. So a lot of these trees, they believe, come from Central Africa, as far up as Congo. Mm-hmm. So they would have washed down in some of the major rivers like the Limpopo and the Orange River into the ocean, and obviously moved with currents and ended up there at this specific site, and that's where they were eventually fossilized. So, they have extraordinary journeys. Some of them are certain type of Meranti that you, in today's day, only find high up, in sort of Central Africa.
Yeah. So, incredibly geologically significant finds, historically significant, and obviously something which we would like to see preserved. What was so beautiful about the story last night, Stanette, was the particular man you found who is doing what he can to preserve these sites and make people appreciate their value. It's a story really about connection to the landscape of somebody who grew up in this part of the world and came back determined to preserve it. Tell us how you came to hear about Benny Mbotlo.
So there were some newspaper articles about him quite a few years ago, about 2018. And then my good friend, Altie Fouchier, who was also the camera person on this shoot, he had actually taken her to a waterfall further down the Wild Coast. So the two of us started talking about him and what a nice story would make. And that's kind of how we discovered him. But about his need to preserve it. It's beautiful because he's now trained a whole bunch of other youngsters because he's getting older. He was in hospital over December because he stepped on a jellyfish and he was quite ill. He's now training a whole lot of younger guides to do the same, you know, take tourists along. Apparently you're not, well, it's a heritage site, so you can't go there on your own. You need to go with a guide.
Okay.
These young guys are trying to make a living as nature guides, but also just sort of proud to share their little bit of the world with tourists and scientists.
Stuart, what I loved about Benny's story was the sense of this being part of his family heritage being handed down from one generation to the next. And I'm so delighted to hear your comment that he is training youngsters, because it was one of the things I worried was what happens when Benny is gone. Benny, in turn, learnt all of this at the feet of his grandmother, didn't he?
Yes. So initially, obviously a lot more of the scientific detail came later, yeah, as he engaged with scientists and started reading and things like that. But certainly his first kind of meeting with the fossils and understanding their value came from his grandmother, who was apparently quite for her, protecting it was, yeah, important. For her, it was also part of their culture, their heritage, and the heritage of the area.
Just for anybody who's coming late to the conversation, my guest on the line is Stinette Groskopf, producer for Carte Blanche, who brought us last night's delightful story of Benny, the guardian of the fossils at the very northern side, tip of the Wild Coast. And Stinette, what an amazing thing to see Benny take your presenter onto the beach and say, right underneath that pile of sand, we're going to find an ammonite, one of those spiral shells, which are so famously, most people will be aware of what we're talking about when we describe them. Right there, just, sitting down on his haunches, scraping away with his hands, revealing a really, really sizable one. I mean, what did it feel like to be there watching this almost sort of casual scraping away of the top layer of sand to reveal something that is millions of years old?
I know, it's extraordinary. And he knows that beach like the back of his hand. You know, unfortunately, the day we were there, it was incredibly windy. So we struggled, with the digging scenes and stuff. So we only did the one. But he knew exactly. There was no, let's dig here and try there or whatever. He knew exactly where it was and digging. And, initially you think, you're not going to see much. And then there's this extraordinary thing right there under the sand, And even at the caves, he knew exactly which fossils were. They almost feel like a little bit like his children. Mm. Oh, yes, so-and-so. I remember when I first found it, I was this old. He has a story for everyone. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the caves. I'd not heard of this particular fossil site at all prior to the segment last night, Stinette, and I certainly wasn't aware of the fact that there are sea caves with fossil remnants there, including the remnants of giant clams. And just incredible to see your camera zoom in on the remains of a sea turtle, clearly visible in the side of that cave structure, and what looks like hanging in midair, which tells us a lot about where the waterline would once have been, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I also think that, the caves themselves are quite interesting. There's a whole history about them. So apparently in the mid-1600s, or 16th century, mid-1500s, a Portuguese galleon was shipwrecked there. And the survivors ended up living in those caves some time before trying. So that's why the locals refer to them as the white man's caves or the Portuguese caves.
Fascinating.
If you walk past, you're not going to know that's a turtle. You know what I mean? If you just casually walk past, it's amazing going with a guide. Someone can open your eyes, because you would quite easily walk past a lot of that.
And yet when somebody takes the time to point it out to you, it's so obvious. You can literally still see the outline of the shell and the face and the flipper and the eye socket even. It's just extraordinary. So, how wonderful to have somebody like Benny who cares enough to share that knowledge. I was going to finish by asking you what happens when Benny goes, but Stinette, it sounds like he is aware of that himself and starting to hand over the knowledge to younger people. Did you get a sense that this passion for what he does is going to be a passion that is continued into the next generation?
I think to some extent, yes. I've spoken to some of the younger guys, and they seem so, but Benny still seems intent on finding a young Benny. He says he wants to find either a Benny or a Benita who he will train and whatever, and it will take over his legacy. But who knows, it might be one of the other guys that are there that are already taking people on tours. But I think that he will make sure there's someone to look after it.
I really hope so. Yeah. Yeah, I really hope so. Stinnett, thank you so much. It was a really lovely, heartwarming segment. I enjoyed watching it, and it's been a pleasure speaking to you again today. Stinnett Groskopf, producer on Carte Blanche. And let me just remind you, as I always do, that if you are not a DSTV subscriber, you do have the opportunity to watch these segments. It normally takes a couple of days, but by middle of the week or so, they are loaded onto the Carte Blanche website. So if you'd like to get a visual on Benny, this extraordinary character we've been talking about, you'll be able to watch the segment on that website. Of course, if you do have DSTV access, either look for a repeat or use the catch-up function to watch it on your own time if you missed last night's show. Thank you again, Stinnett Groskopf, Carte Blanche producer.